Morning, Buzz. What'd you make of round one?
Oh, I loved it, mate. Loved it. They did speak footy all weekend. I guess Thursday night, Penrith won clearly, and we knew the result well out from full time, but every other game was so tight, and I loved it. You're talking about the penalty count there at Titans Parramatta. Justin Holbrook, obviously disappointed about that. Look, it happens. It happened in a few games. I noticed the Canberra Raiders were ahead 5-0 in the penalties and won 6 again. Cronulla didn't get anything, for the first 25 minutes. It happened up in Townsville yesterday. The Cowboys, I think, were 8-2 in front in the penalties at half time. You saw they complained about it, Josh Jackson, going into the halftime break, and then it swung back the second half. So, look, everyone's glued to the penalty counts, aren't they? And, the bunker played such a big role over the weekend as well. And don't know about you, Laurie and Clarkey and Jared, I'm a little bit concerned about the bunker from round one. It's probably the only negative of the weekend. I think, for my liking, they've just got too much power in the game. For the life of me, I can't work out how a doctor in a bunker, which is situated in Redfern, has got a better idea of a concussion ruling than a doctor that's at the venue and can conduct the test like they've always done. And it worries me a little bit. And the other area of inconsistency I wasn't happy about in the weekend, and I don't want to be negative, I just want to get this out of the way early. Bloody play the ball penalties. There were three over the weekend that I saw 20 other identical play the balls that weren't penalised. So I just hope, and look, referees, match officials, bunkers are like players. They've had a long off-season. I hope they find their groove, and all we want is consistency. And I'm not sure, and I just don't like this doctors overruling club doctors. I don't like it from a television screen where at the ground the club doctors can diagnose it a lot more thoroughly.
Yeah, and that's the issue we spoke about here this morning. We find it hard that a doctor in a bunker, and we got no problem with the doctor in the bunker, by the way, but them being able to identify something happens on the field, but then the assessment is done by the doctor at the ground. Surely they've got a better idea and a better indication of how the player is feeling, and then they have the decision on whether the player can go back on the field or not.
Yeah, look, it was changed during the off-season to stop clubs and coaches voiding the system and sending out back players who were concussed. But look, I don't believe there are doctors in the NRL that would do anything like that. And I think player welfare and the safety of them is their number one priority. And all doctors, in my view, are independent. And I that Sydney Roosters doctor, he's a great doctor. And they insist that Victor Radley, in that tackle, jarred his neck. There was nothing wrong with his brain that he got back, but he was on the ground because he was in pain from the neck injury. Same with Billy Smith, they insist he wasn't concussed. Now, Braden Burns, that was a horrible, horrible head clash. Mm. And I could almost understand that. And I was surprised that the Bulldogs didn't pull him off the trainer, at least to get tested up in Townsville last night. But it's a talking point from round one, despite all the great football we saw.
And the frustration I had that with the Braden Burns one, though, Buzz? I think a lot of people thought...
Long.
Well, it went so long. And the other thing was they stopped the game when the Cowboys actually made a break and had the Bulldogs on the back foot.
Yeah, well, the doctor's wired up for the referee now. So.
Yeah, but I for me, the frustration, and I've had the frustration for a while, that there's that many stoppages now in the game. We stop for everything. And I understand player welfare, but we stop the game that many times. It's frustrating. And the people I speak to tell me the same thing.
I don't watch gridiron or NFL for this very reason. There are too many stoppages. But look, I don't want to bag the weekend round because I thought we saw some fantastic football. But just because we saw some fantastic football doesn't mean we can do things. So there aren't as many stoppages. And even that first Roosters try to Tedesco, it was a wonderful rugby league try. And they called it back, and I almost thought it was nitpicking. And I think the bunker should be there for captain's challenges and blatant errors that the referees and touch judges missed. The bunker has become the most powerful element of the game. The people running it every weekend are the most powerful people in the game. And it's been shown they're never consistent. Referees are out there doing, but here we are, round one, we've seen good footy and we're blowing up about refs, you know.
It started already. Buzz, you mentioned the Roosters. What did you make of their performance?
Oh, they were hopelessly underdone, Clarkie, and I'm certainly not going to have a crack at Trent Robinson because his coaching achievements over the last 10 years have just been so exceptional. But I think they earned taking 8 players, Tedesco, Keary, Billy Smith, Angus Crichton, Wura Hargrave, Takiaho, Nat Butcher and Connor Watson into the game with no trial. No trial, no football since what? When did they bow out? September last year. And I think that was a mistake. I found them, apart from being underdone, I found them disjointed. For the life of me, I cannot understand why they paid $800,000 to keep Joey Manu and jammed him on the wing for most of the game in defence. I think they're trying to play him as a sort of second fullback role in attack. But look, he burned all his gas bringing the ball back like wingers do. And he was like an extra forward rather than a Tom Turbo, you know, sweeping, doing those sweeping plays. And Luke Keary at halfback, this guy won 3 premierships at 5'8". Why is he at halfback? Sam Walker struggled to get into the football game at 5'8". You know, I'd switch them back. But again, who am I to bag Trent Robinson? It was round one. As I said, they were hopelessly underdone. Players hadn't played in the trials, and yeah, they were really, really disappointing. It was unlike the Roosters. Round one last year, they put nearly 40 points on Manly at the cricket ground. I was so sure they were going to beat Newcastle and beat Newcastle easily on the weekend, but Newcastle looked hungrier, they looked more enthusiastic. But great performance by Adam O'Brien and Joey Johns, the assistant coach there now, to get them up. And you think they were without Sai Fiti from last year. They were without their hooker from last year. And they were also without Mitchell Pearce from last year. Magnificent win by the Knights.
Yeah, no, I thought the Knights were very impressive, given that they were taking on the Roosters and and they did it without Kalen Ponga being the star as well. So that was the other impressive thing about their performance, was that they dug in, they looked good with the ball, and they really defended well against a Roosters side that had plenty of strike in there, but they were just off the pace. And it could be a combination thing, Buzz. You might be right there with the amount of players that didn't play in the pre-season, but I'll back the Roosters to get that right.
Yeah, but they've got Manly, mate, and they've got Manly coming off a loss, so it's not going to be a cakewalk this week. And the other thing I'll say about the Knights, Clark, and I don't want to bag your mob, but they've got the West Tigers this week. They've got them at home. So they can put two together, it's a really positive start to the year. And the other guy I want to mention in the Knights is Dane Gagai. I thought he was outstanding, and I thought Kate Clifford was outstanding.
Yeah, no, both those guys were tremendous, and if they continue to play like that, then the Knights will have a big year. Can the Dogs make it 2 in a row? They were going into the game against the Cowboys under plenty of pressure, Buzz, but they turned it around. I mean, it wasn't their greatest performance, but you just got to get the 2 points early in the season.
You know, I enjoyed this game as much as I enjoyed all the tries in the Gold Coast Para game earlier. I love old-fashioned arm wrestles, and the conditions up there were tough, particularly in the second half. They've had a lot of rain. There was a lot of drop footy, a lot of errors, but the dogs did really well. And I saw some positive signs there. They didn't have Tevita Pangai Jr., their biggest signing in the off-season. And you know what I like about them? The heart they played with, the commitment they played with. And they looked a very tight football side. And Trent Barrett, as you know, is under more pressure than any other coach in the competition, or at least equal with Michael Maguire. And you know, they look, that try was so close at the end, wasn't it, from the Chad Townsend bomb, but that's rugby league. It was disallowed. Again, the bunker intervening. But, you know, if you're going to put a ruler out there and look at millimetres, he was millimetres offside. And it was the correct decision at the end of the day. But if I'm a Canterbury fan, yeah, I'm excited about that win. But they've got that horribly tough draw coming up after next week.
We mentioned those injuries to the Melbourne Storm. So Tarek Sims, is it likely he'll end up there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, this. Tarek Sims appears to be on the outer at St George Illawarra. If State of Origin forward, who played very well for New South Wales last year, if he can't make the starting 17 for round one of the Dragons, there's obviously a problem there behind the scenes, and it's one that Melbourne Storm are monitoring very, very closely. The Dragons won 28-16 against the Warriors. They played terrific. All their forwards went well. So I'm starting, Tarek Sims was in Melbourne the week before last. I'm starting to think that with all those injuries at Storm that they might make a move early. I know Storm's salary cap is very, very tight, and I know they couldn't pay Tarek Sims full whack this year. But maybe they will get to a situation where St George will contribute to his salary. And, yeah, who knows what will happen in rugby league. It's always a chance of things like that happening.
Geez, it was an ugly night for the Melbourne Storm, though, wasn't it, Buzz? I mean, losing Christian Wells possibly for the year and George Jennings and then Brandon Smith breaking his hand. It's not the start that they're after.
No, but again, Loz, and, you know, I rated the value of all the players last week, and Melbourne Storm were right up the top of it because of the depth, the incredible depth they have. And while they lose those players this week, they've got Cameron Munster, they've got Harry Grant, they get Jesse Bromwich coming back into the side. And that game on Thursday night is Craig Bellamy's 500th game, as we all know. That's against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. We've got Latrell Mitchell returning. Latrell will be under the spotlight this week more than any other player in the competition. In my view, he's got a bit of a debt to repay the Rabbitohs. You know, after missing the last eight games, they need him on the park. They need him to lift players like Cody Walker, who was way down his form against the Broncos. That'll be a super-duper game of football. And even with the injuries, you know, Storm, I think it's about their third game in 2 years at Amy Park, so they're going to get a monster crowd down there. Their membership's gone through the roof this year, and yeah, we've only just finished, mate, but I'm hanging out for Thursday night already.
Can't wait for it. And you and Kenty going to get the gloves off tonight on NRL 360, Buzz?
Oh, no doubt, mate. Kenty will find something wrong with my reporting over the weekend, and I'll cop it. I tell you what, Clarkie, she's that cricket has been disappointing, the pictures they're producing.
Yeah, it hasn't been, it wasn't a great summer for fans and lovers of cricket in regards to watching. I thought England were quite poor, and yeah, the pictures in Pakistan have been horrible, mate, for cricket. Yeah, Clarkie, great for batters, but horrible for Test cricket.
Are you disappointed Pat Cummins didn't declare last night when we...
You would have declared.
It's hard for me to say sitting here. I think if your vision is just about, right, what are we doing to try and win the game, full stop, then I think you do. I think you declare and have, even if it's five overs, just try and get a breakthrough. Try and get one or two wickets with that new ball at the close of play.
That's what I thought.
I can only think he's thinking, just keep batting let's get this wicket to deteriorate so we can get some spin, get some natural variation. But even if they do bowl Pakistan out for 300, 350 in those conditions, they're not going to send them back in. You know what I mean? Australia's going to have to bat again third because the bowlers will be too fatigued. So I feel like you just got to make sure there's enough time in the game. And that's why I thought maybe could have declared to try and get a couple of wickets, but very easy sitting here. If they think the wickets exactly like the first test, then I understand why they're saying, let's just bat as long as we can and the worst of conditions, let Pakistan bat in.
Hey, Clarky, this is a big sports breakfast first. You have actually agreed with me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is a first.
We'll ask you another question. Yeah, we'll test you.
Quickly.
Thank you, Michael. I knew a lot about cricket.
Good on you, Buzz. Thanks so much, mate.
Talk to you guys. Ta-da.